church our attention for today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Today I'll read from the New King James Version. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. About 2 weeks ago, December 18th, issue of the New York Times, I saw an article about the waning influence of monks in Thailand. As Thailand is getting richer and richer, the influence of monks are declining. There used to be many monks in Thailand, Buddhist monks, and the temples were once the center of the village or the town life, but nowadays it's just an ornament of the past. And the iPhone generation are not willing to become monks in Buddhist temples. And so now Thailand has imported monks from a neighboring city, Myanmar, which is Burma. And a famous, respected monk named Phra Thanyan Vesalo says, "Considering it now a Thai religion, in the past, people went to temple on every holy day, but nowadays people go to shopping malls." Well, I think that's true for the United States as well. Consumerism is the American religion, and the temples are the shopping malls. Most Americans consider themselves spiritual, but not religious. In other words, they take something from Buddhism, from Christianity, from Gay, from another spiritual group, and they combine it to make their own belief. But they are unwilling to believe anything that is threatening their economy. People are willing to be consumers in the spiritual market, but not the disciples of Jesus. And in our culture, the word disciple has negative connotations. It smells of discipline, asceticism, self-denial, hierarchy, rules, and commitment. Disciples sound like ascetic monks chained to strict standards of living. And not many people want to be disciples of anything these days. But we know that Jesus came to make disciples. Yes, Jesus came to save sinners. It is also true that Jesus came to make disciples. And being a disciple of Jesus is not being heavily burdened. It is not a heavy burden. In Jesus' day, disciples attached themselves to a particular rabbi. And if the rabbi were famous, a lot of people, a lot of disciples would flock to him. And they would come to the synagogue regularly and follow the rabbi as he makes his daily rounds to the members of the synagogue. The disciples would follow the rabbi on walks, ask questions, and hear his answers. And the disciples accepted the yoke of their rabbi, and they tried hard to follow his teachings. And the rabbi, they have many rules that they imposed on people, but that they themselves did not keep. And that is why Jesus accuses the Pharisees and scribes. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger. In contrast, Jesus said that his yoke as a rabbi is light, it's not heavy. He invites all who are heavy laden to come to him for rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus, the real rabbi, is inviting us to be his disciples. You know, the good teacher teaches at the level appropriate to the student, right? Math teacher wouldn't teach calculus to a third grader. That would be ridiculous. Jesus teaches for our own level. He knows our weakness, and he teaches in ways that we can understand. And he is a very gentle teacher. He's a humble teacher. He's a very good teacher. And Jesus preached the good news to large crowds, huge crowds following, and ministered to them. But he spent a lot of energy and time to a small group of 12 to train and call the 12 disciples. When Jesus was taken up to heaven, he left nothing on earth. He left no diaries, no writings, no monuments. The only things left were the 12 disciples. They were the ones who changed the whole world. If you go to any church and ask, what is the mission of the church? Most people would say, well, it is to make disciples. I think all the people would agree. But then you ask this question, then what is a disciple? And you would get many different answers. What is a disciple? In English or Greek, it just means a student, somebody who learns, to learn. And it's not just learning the facts, but a disciple is somebody who will be able to do what the master can do. If a surgeon teaches a medical student, he would expect the student not just to memorize the facts, but to be able to perform the surgery eventually. But a disciple of Jesus is more than a learner. According to Pastor Jim Quitman, the biblical definition of a disciple is in the invitation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave this invitation. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. The first words are, follow me. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus as his or her Lord. When we read the Gospel of Luke, we know that before Jesus called his disciples, he performed a miracle. He told them to cast down their nets, and they caught lots of fish. And there were so many fish that the nets were tearing apart. And through that miracle, the disciples came to understand who Jesus is in a rudimentary way. Their understanding of Jesus was not yet complete, but they got a hint. After the resurrection, he realized that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of heaven and earth. To be disciples, we must accept who Jesus is, and we must place ourselves under his authority. Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. As Jesus revealed the truth about his identity, people had to choose. Should I follow him or not follow him? And people had many excuses for not following Jesus. Some loved their money and position in the world too much. Some, after following Jesus for some time, didn't like his teaching, so they gave up following Jesus. Some thought maybe he was a Messiah, but they were afraid of the people, and they did not recognize Jesus in public. And they did the same today. Many people like the idea of being saved from sin and going to heaven, but they don't like the idea of following Jesus as their Lord. Rather than following Jesus and obeying him, people want Jesus to follow them, serve them, grant their wishes. People want to believe in Jesus as their Savior, just in vindicate their judgment by having a fire insurance. But following Jesus as their Lord means serious change in their behavior, in their habits, in their values. Following Jesus means that now they have to serve God instead of having God serve them. But the Bible declares God has made the crucified Jesus the Lord of all. And he cannot be one and not the other. The disciple is someone who follows Jesus as the Lord. And when Jesus told the disciples, he expected full obedience. And Jesus is the only one who can demand people to follow him based on who he is. He is the only one who can command people to abandon everything for him. Even Moses could not do that. As you said, Moses gave him the law, but Jesus Christ. No, it's not Moses, it's God. Moses does not have the authority. He was only a mediator. He derived his authority from God. But Jesus is God. Jesus is the Lord. He alone has the authority to demand unconditional obedience from people. When Jesus called, the disciples left everything to follow him. I think this may be the most defining characteristic of the disciple. There is a complete entrusting of oneself to Jesus. Complete trust in Jesus. Though they were leaving behind their business, their livelihood, they trusted that somehow Jesus will take care of them. They trusted Jesus enough to bet their whole life on him. This was their attitude. Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Following Jesus and learning from Jesus is the one consuming goal of the disciple. And this is what's required in the disciple. This complete trust, complete surrender, total entrusting of oneself to Jesus. This is what enables the disciple to obey Jesus fully. There is no partial surrender, partial obedience. Partial trust. The disciple means full trust, full surrender. So who is your Lord? Have you placed yourself under the authority of Jesus Christ? Is there anything that you need to leave behind in order to follow him as your Lord? Have you entrusted yourself? Your life, Jesus. Secondly, Jesus, the disciple is somebody who is being changed by Jesus. He says, follow me, and I will make you. Being a disciple of Jesus does not depend solely on our efforts. We cannot make ourselves into a disciple. Rather, it's Jesus who makes us into his disciple. He says, I will make you, I will change you, I will give you heart and new spirit. He's the one who changes us. Jesus did not choose us and say, now you guys are on your own to be disciples. You can do whatever you want. I'll see how many of you become disciples. He didn't leave us like that. He didn't answer us. He is with us, and he says, I will be with you. I will make you. I will guide you. I will empower you. I will be with you each step of the way, so that you become a disciple. He who began the work in us will carry it on to completion. The one who chose us as a disciple will not rest until Christ is born in us. Now I think that our truth, we do not want to be disciples. It's too much work, too much effort. We have tried and we have failed. We get discouraged. We become afraid. We become tired of the failing. We know that our results, our determinations, do not last very long. But Jesus is the one who comes to us at those moments. And he encourages us. Tells us to get up. We're going to get up all that. He's the one who walks with us. When it is too hard, Jesus carries us in his arms. He renews our determination to follow. Jesus is the one who is leading us to be more like him. So discipleship is not just my goal, but it is also God's goal. And this is why being a disciple of Jesus is a carrying a light yoke. Because Jesus carries the burden with us. It's not that Jesus carries a small part of it. Jesus carries a big burden, and he lets us carry a small burden. And the ultimate burden of making disciples is not on me, but on Jesus. God. And that takes huge pressure off me. Jesus said to us, I have called you, I have chosen you, I will make you, I will make you my disciple. You just trust me, follow me. Lastly, the disciple is committed to the mission of Christ. I will make you fishers of men, catcher of people. That mission, the disciples are chosen to catch people for God's kingdom. Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. That's his mission, and that's our mission, and that's the mission of the church. It is God's mission. When we spend time with Jesus, as we follow him, we get to care about what Jesus cares. We begin to see things in different ways. We start to care about what really matters in life. The people we know are lost for eternity unless they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When we know and follow Christ, we look at people in a different way. We don't judge them. But we care for them. And we reach out to them as well. We long to see unbelievers reconciled to God. We want to partner with God in that mission. So we give God our abilities. We give God our time, energy, our money, and our skills. For the mission of God, the mission of Christ. Now, at the time of Jesus, it was a great honor for a boy to be selected to be the rabbi. To be the disciple of the rabbi. And the rabbi, they did not take just anybody. He had no any boy to choose from. And he picked the best and the brightest. King of God. The boys went through rigorous years of training, learning, become a rabbi himself. But the same thing about Jesus is that Jesus did not pick the best of the brightest. Jesus picked regular folks like you and I. He picked the 12 disciples, maybe with the exception of Matthew, who was the and well-educated person. All other disciples were not so well-educated, and a lot of them were fishermen. They were not rabbi material. Now, Jesus chose you and I to be his disciples. Just as the 12 disciples were trained, we also need to train. We need to be taught. We need to learn from And our training pales in comparison to what Paul received from Jesus in 2 years. But the Holy Spirit can still use that training to make us more like Christ. Now, discipleship training does not mean that I made my own disciple. No way. The purpose is to make disciples of Jesus. We don't make our disciples. We want to make disciples of Christ. Discipleship training does not mean separating the church into disciples and non-disciples. So we receive training not in order to be a disciple, but because we are disciples. We have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are disciples of Christ. Jesus chose us as His disciples. You know what? That's a great honor. It's a great privilege. He says to us, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers. Will you hear it all? Will you respond? Follow Jesus. Sorry. Father, thank you for choosing us to be your disciples. Truly, it is an honor, it's a privilege. Lord, give us.
Together in worship, and Pastor Joe will give us the